two of my guys in the desert. We bid farewell to Vinny Maiulo, who just was itching to get his tux back on, Matt. So he's going to go put that on right now and stand behind the counter. We got Stuart Mandel from The Athletic coming up, editor-in-chief there. He's been covering college football for quite some time. Aaron K. Dolan also set to join us in hour two. But Matt, I want to talk it out a little bit with you. I got some college football games on my mind. I know we just talked with Mark Lawrence about them. Curious if you have an opinion on any of these games.
I'm sure I do.
Because you mentioned it. West Virginia is hosting Kansas State in Morgantown on Saturday. West Virginia is laying 3.5. And Kansas State is unbeaten Big 12 play. They're 16th in the country. They're just coming off a walloping of in-state rival Kansas. So I think a lot of people are going to say, well, Kansas State's on sale here. I like West Virginia in this spot. West Virginia outgained Texas Tech almost by 100 points. The game-winning touchdown in that
game.
100 points, 100 yards, oh, yeah, same thing.
Okay.
Game-winning touchdown scored via a fumble recovery, a scoop and score. And you look at Kansas State. You played Kansas. But also, two punt returns for a touchdown in that game, Matt, a pick six. And I don't know what to expect from Will Howard on the road against maybe the best defense in the Big 12. I like West Virginia's spot. Let's talk it out. What do you think?
Well, I think when you look at this number, West Virginia 3.5, it's telling you to bet West Virginia.
Right.
A lot of times you have to read betting lines. And a lot of people are going to look at this and say, K-State getting 3.5, 4-0 in the Big 12.
They could lose by three, and they'd still cover.
Chris Klieman, that looks like an attractive dog this week. West Virginia not getting great quarterback play. If you've watched the Mountaineers, that's a weakness with West Virginia. I look at this, and I see West Virginia minus 3.5 and say, well, that's probably the right side because the number doesn't look exactly right to me. I thought the number was going to be 3, and when it came 3.5, it says some sharp odds makers like the favorite.
And I think Circa opened this, and this is something you've talked about, Matt, is you trust, you know, Matt Medcalf and the crew over at Circa. You think they're pretty sharp, and this opened at, I think, West Virginia laying 5 and has come down a little bit, but across the board, it's there at 3.5. All right, another game.
Yeah, a lot of times you're right, too, Tim. Yeah. I do like to look at the Circa openers as soon as those guys put them up because I respect their opinions on stuff, and they made West Virginia a little bit higher. And you have to take that into account as well. I will not be on Kansas State in this game. It would be West Virginia or pass.
Yeah, I like West Virginia. I played it already.
Can you lay 3?
I was thinking about waiting, but I decided let's just this lay.
That's the only thing I would wait on in that game is to see if I could lay a 3 at some point. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but you never know.
A game in the Big Ten that I feel like I think some people are going to look at this number and say interesting. Iowa laying 2.5 at home against Northwestern. Northwestern beats Maryland 43-3. Very comfortable with that. Peyton Ramsey looking solid. Tua's little brother is not Tua. I'll just leave it at that. And you've got Iowa coming off a tough loss against Purdue. Now they outgained Purdue 455-386, had 10 penalties, which were for 95 yards. Is Iowa the right side, or do you like Northwestern here as a short road dog?
Interesting here, too, because Circa opened this number, Iowa, 3.5, I believe.
Yeah.
And 3.5, I think you would have to look at the Purple Cats as a take. At 2.5, I'm looking at the Iowa Hawkeyes. I watched the entire Iowa-Purdue game last week. Hawkeyes are who we thought they were, nothing special. But I think they're going to be good enough to grind out some Big Ten wins, as Kirk French usually does. And Spencer Petras, the quarterback, I thought showed enough ability here that I would play Iowa as a short home favorite. Like you said, 2.5. A lot of times I like to shy away from 2.5-point home favorites because it's some people like to call it a trap. But in this case, I'm not sure how powerful Northwestern is just because I believe Maryland is really bad.
Yeah, I think Maryland and Michigan State are rivaling for worst team in the Big Ten. We'll talk to Stuart Mandel, a Purple Cat alum, Northwestern's own. Another game we don't have time on, but we'll talk about it tomorrow or later on in the show. Huge matchup in the AAC this weekend. Memphis visiting Cincinnati. A lot of people expecting Cincinnati, especially off of the win over SMU, to have smooth sailing to that showdown later in the month against UCF. I think this is a tricky spot for Cincinnati against Memphis.
Yeah, I didn't have a strong opinion in this game. I had to pick a side for Point Spread Weekly this week, and I took the Bearcats. I just like Luke Fickell and that Cincy team. I liked them last week at TCU. All right, Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray, hour number two of My Guys in the Desert from the South Point Sportsbook. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And Tim, you and I love to talk college football.
Yes, we do.
Sometimes we just keep talking it all the way through the commercials and the
and the animations and everything. Think when we're supposed to break, you know.
Yep, just keep talking college football. Let's do it here with Stuart Mandel, editor-in-chief of The Athletic. And I actually love to read The Athletic. It's got great content. And I've been reading college football stories nonstop for the past 2 months. Stuart, we have a big story in the Big Ten right now, don't we, with Wisconsin. This game at at Nebraska being canceled this week, and the Big Ten had no built-in bye weeks. And this is going to be an issue, I think a bigger issue here for the Big Ten. What do you see here down the road for the Big Ten, starting with this Wisconsin-Nebraska cancellation on Saturday?
I think that the big issue here is that they decided they were going to put football on hold for 7 days to try to get this outbreak under control. And if we go spin ahead to 7 days, the next Tuesday, will Wisconsin be able to prepare for a game against Purdue next week? Right. So we already know they're down one game, and there is no, like you said, no flexibility in the Big Ten schedule to reschedule these games like some other conferences have done. So if they lose two games, and they're only going to play nine to begin with, obviously that's a huge chunk of the season for a team that had aspirations of contending for the Big Ten title.
Yeah, that's what, like you said, it was eight straight weeks, and then the ninth week was going to be the basically the playoff week in the Big Ten, and Wisconsin now has one game canceled against Nebraska, and who knows, I wouldn't be that optimistic that the game against Purdue is going to happen next week based on everything. And Stuart, doesn't it also make it more complicated for some of these Big Ten teams when you have the 21-day protocol? Graham Mertz tested positive for COVID, the freshman quarterback, and he can't return for 3 weeks. And Wisconsin was going to start a fourth-string quarterback, Danny Vanderboom, at Nebraska this week.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want people to get players to get COVID, or Paul Chris for that matter, that coach. But by end up having to cancel the game, they saved the. They avoided that scenario of having to play with the fourth string quarterback. And if you watch their first game against Illinois, I mean, Graham Mertz looked spectacular, and it was a really stunning development that they were going to lose him, and not just lose him, but lose him for 21 days. Normally you would say, well, it doesn't matter that much who the quarterback is. Wisconsin's just going to run the ball and pound you. But actually, I think they have kind of an underwhelming set of running backs this year, and that they really were going to rely more on the quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see. That policy is that policy. So he's going. So even if they do play against Purdue next week, he's not going to be able to play, nor would the backup who tested positive as well.
We're talking to Stuart Mandel, editor-in-chief of The Athletic's college football coverage. Also, great college football podcast. He and Bruce Feldman have been doing the Audible for quite some time. It's always a must listen, the recap the weekend and look ahead to the weekend's game. You know, final thought on just this COVID issue, and this is maybe, I don't want to say wishful thinking, but, you know, we just saw baseball, Stuart, expand their postseason just because of this unusual times. They had a shortened season, and they said, you know, let's take advantage of, let's make this a positive. Is there any possibility in your mind that college football, with the uncertainty of, you know, the Big Ten, maybe you have a champion who's played 5-6 games. Could we have, just for a one-off, an expanded college football playoff this year?
I don't think so. You know, the advantage that the pro leagues have, Major League Baseball, certainly the NBA, I mean, those leagues showed a lot of flexibility and were able to change on the fly. And that's because they're all, you know, they're not separated into different conferences or different divisions. The college football playoff is just basically all of the individual conferences run that thing. And I just don't think you're going to get, in a very short amount of time here, all of those parties to agree to something that dramatic. I think they're also leery of, you know, once you go down that road once, you're not going to be able to go back to the 14 playoff, and they have a contract for another 6 years. So You know, there has been some questions as to whether if enough conferences have a lot of games that get postponed here down the stretch, would they at least push the playoff games back to give them more time to make up those games? Maybe that's a possibility, but I don't think they're going to add another round to it.
Yeah, as of right now, where it should be, New Year's Day will be the college football playoff semifinals. Stuart, the biggest game of the weekend, Halloween night, unfortunately, just because of the circumstances that we all know everyone's dealing with, we won't have, you know, your typical whiteout there at Penn State, but still should be an exciting game. Ohio State goes on the road. This game opened up when the lines were set at circa Penn State, a 8-point underdog, and now 11.5, 12-point underdog. You look at the last 4 years, and Penn State has always played Ohio State pretty close. You know, last year they lost by 11, but the year prior, 2 years prior, they lost both those games by 1 point. 2016 was that upset of Ohio State. You know, we talked to your colleague Nicole Auerbach on the program last week about style points potentially for Ohio State. What do you envision taking place Saturday night in Happy Valley?
I mean, Penn State, you know, obviously taking a lot of flack for the loss to Indiana, lost in that was that their defense actually did play really well in that game for up until the 59th minute. So, you know, it's not that they don't have a chance there to possibly slow down Justin Fields and the Buckeyes, but this is not the Penn State team that they thought they were going to have this year. No Michael Parsons, who would have contended for National Defensive Player of the Year. Top running back, Journey Brown, undisclosed health issue. He's not playing. And then on the first series of last week, Noah Cain goes down. So now they're down to only one running back with any experience in Devin Ford. So I just think that, you know, whatever expectations I had, and I had high expectations playing this season for them, have been downgraded quite a bit. And I don't know that they can be competitive for four quarters if Ohio State is as strong as we think they are.
All right, I saw a story that you tweeted out today about Michigan quarterback Joe Milton, and will the Wolverines be a playoff contenders? And you know what? That was one of the most impressive performances of last weekend was Michigan going to Minnesota, dropping 49 points on the Gophers. I don't think many people have high expectations for Michigan State anymore. Spartans were upset at home by Rutgers last week. And Stuart, this line is Michigan minus 24.5 or 25. That's more than a 10-point adjustment of what this number would have been if this game was played in week one. Do you think that's deserving? Should Michigan be a 24.5-point favorite over the Spartans?
I mean, it's a big number, yeah, to say the least. But I think, you know, I mean, I can see why that would have happened because you had two developments. You had Joe Milton coming out looking great in his debut, making that offense look a lot more dangerous. And then Michigan State, that loss to Rutgers, 7 turnovers, I think showed people something that we kind of already suspected, which was that, you know, Mark D'Antonio left that program in pretty rough shape. And they just don't have a lot of great players right now. So I do think Michigan will win big. You guys are the gambling experts to know whether that's the exact right number. But I don't think it'll be, it won't be as competitive as we've come to expect from that rivalry.
I'm not going to make an argument with the number. Let's put it this way. It's a big number, like you said, but
that's right.
It
hasn't moved. I mean,
Spartans are pretty,
it opened at 25 right, and it's staying there.
Spartans, you know, are pretty ugly dogs right now. And we think might be the worst team in the Big Ten right there with Maryland. But what about Rutgers and Indiana, Stuart? This is an interesting handicapping spot because both these teams are off like program changing wins. Could be a flat spot for the Hoosiers on the road. They are laying 10.5 or 11 at Rutgers, and Greg Schiano, like we just said, got a big win in his first game back at Michigan State.
I think that because of what we just talked about, how bad Michigan State is, there might be some false confidence placed around Rutgers. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Rutgers is still got a long, long ways to go. It was a great opening win for Greg Schiano. But I don't think that the program got that dramatically better overnight. So that is a game. Whereas Indiana, Tom Allen has been building that program for several years now. They finally had that breakthrough win. So it's a game Indiana should win. Fairly convincingly, provided they, you know, don't have the post week hangover after such a exciting win for them.
Stuart, we're talking once again to Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, and check out the Audible. He and Bruce Feldman twice a week, right, during the college football season, Stuart?
We do, yeah. Sundays and Thursdays.
And, you know, I think many people know you don't hide it, and rightfully so. You're a Northwestern alum. You talk about it openly. And an impressive win, albeit against maybe the cellar dweller of the Big Ten. But, hey, your alma mater wins by 40. That doesn't happen all that often. So I think Northwestern, you know, coming off of what was a really down year last year is going to be better. I think this is an intriguing spot here at Iowa. Iowa coming off that loss to Purdue. Kind of ugly by Iowa. A lot of penalties, which is a bit uncharacteristic of a Kirk Ferentz team. And I don't know if you caught it, but Matt and I were talking about this game. I almost think this is maybe a little buy low spot for Iowa. What do you think about Northwestern visiting Iowa on Saturday afternoon? Right now, Iowa just under a field goal favorite at 2.5.
You know, the funny thing about Northwestern Iowa is that Northwestern has been just a thorn in Iowa's side over the years. There have been a lot of years where Iowa was a heavy favorite in that game and got upset by them. Not last year, of course, when Northwestern had such a dreadful offense. But, you know, I think a lot of the things that Northwestern fans were hoping to see, it exceeded even their wildest expectations in that first game. The question now is, okay, they put it on tape now. You know, it's brand new offense, Peyton Ramsey in it. Now Iowa can at least, it's not going to come as a surprise to Iowa like it might have to Maryland. So, you know, they've obviously got a very good, well-coached team, good defense. Will that be enough? Because I do think that one thing about that Purdue game that was surprising to me is I thought we would have seen more from Iowa's offense. Not that I didn't think they could lose to Purdue, but that was pretty disappointing performance on that side of the ball. So I think Northwestern's got a good shot at it.
Yeah, and Purdue without its head coach, Jeff Brohm, and Rondale Moore did not play in that game. I'm not sure he's going to play this week either. So that's a situation to keep an eye on in that Purdue-Illinois game in the Big Ten. All right, let's get outside the Big Ten. I'm going to beat Tim to the punch here. I know he wants to ask you about Notre Dame and Georgia Tech. The Irish are 20-point favorites on the road this week off the
look-ahead spot.
Off the big win at Pitt. And they obviously have Clemson on deck, so it's a look-ahead spot, Stuart. And I think Clemson probably opened about a 14-point favorite at Notre Dame next week. Do you feel like this is a tricky look-ahead spot for the Irish, and do you think they can hang with Trevor Lawrence and the Tigers the next week?
Well, this week Notre Dame should handle Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech still not very good, and this is a really good Notre Dame team. I think that they legitimize themselves with how dominant they were against Pitt. And really, Brian Kelly, over the last few years, they've become known as a team that they don't really slip up against these. You know, they still have, there's still the question of whether they can beat a Clemson type team, but they don't slip up against these unranked teams. You know, with the Clemson game, my concern there for the Irish, I do think that they have a great defense, and if anybody can slow down Clemson, they could do that. But it's a very one-dimensional offense Notre Dame has right now. It's a strong offensive line and a strong running game. Not much of a downfield threat right now in terms of the receivers they have. And I think Brent Venables coached Clemson defense. It just lives for that. Even one-dimensional offense, they'll take that because they're not going to get out physicals by a whole lot of teams out there.
Look at those odds to win the ACC, by the way, Tim. It's Clemson minus 1-10, yeesh, and Notre Dame plus 650. No other team better than 15-1, as it should be, to win the ACC.
Yeah, and there's an article up on The Athletic by Matt Fortuna where Notre Dame's receiving some props from coaches around the ACC. But I agree with Stuart's assessment. We've talked about it. It's going to be great offenses trump good defenses right now in college football. Speaking of great defenses, Stuart, you've got Georgia visiting Kentucky. If people caught some of that Kentucky-Missouri game, felt like it was from like the 1960s with how the Kentucky offense played. I think it was 125 total yards. And now all you have to do is turn around and face Georgia, who might be the best defense in the country. For college football purposes, Stuart, this is one of the lowest totals you might see all year, 43. Do you expect to see any life from Kentucky's offense? They're at home against Georgia. Georgia right now north of a 2-touchdown favorite.
It's hard to see that. I mean, Kentucky, this is not a new development. Kentucky's offense, I mean, it was one player last year, Lynn Bowden, and he's gone, and they've struggled all year. And we know they're playing, like you said, I mean, I think Georgia probably does have the best defense in the country. So that's asking a lot for them to put up points against Georgia. And then By the same token, you know, Kentucky has a pretty good defense, but I do expect Georgia to continue to get better on offense over the course of the year.
All right, Stuart Mandel, editor-in-chief of The Athletic, college football coverage. Follow on Twitter, by the way, at TheAthleticCFB. Stuart, thanks a lot. Appreciate the time, and enjoy the college football this weekend.
All right, thanks for having me.
Matt,
you know, he brought up a good point, too. Why do Big Ten players have to sit out 21 days? You know, we've talked about this Big Ten protocol where Graham Mertz, the Wisconsin quarterback, is going to have to sit out 21 days. It just, it's, don't you think there should be some sort of uniform policy in college football where each conference just doesn't come up with random guidelines?
Well, and that's been a criticism of college football for however many years, Matt. There is no overarching body. I mean, it's conferences, and they get to decide. You know, real quickly, going back to Georgia-Kentucky there, Matt, what's the team total for Kentucky going to be? 13? 12.5?
With a total of 43, I mean, you're
basically, 14.5
you're basically
point spread?
Projecting a 28-14 type of game, yeah.
Hard not to take the team total under on Kentucky in that spot.
Yeah, it's not going to be a game. I'm going to be on the edge of my seat watching this week. In the SEC, that's going to be an ugly defensive game. Georgia at Kentucky, Bulldogs 14.5 point road favorites. Quick break. We come back. Aaron Kate Dolan of PointsBet joins us. She will talk some baseball with Tim Murray.
If you're in New Jersey, Iowa, or Indiana, PointsBet is the sports book for football and all of your favorite sports. See for yourself with faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards. As always, PointsBet is offering tons of promotions bettors actually care about, like odds and parlay boosters, as well as cash out early options on selected game. Download the PointsBet app today and start betting with a 100% deposit match up to $250. Sign up with the code VSIN250 and deposit $250 to get an extra $250 in bonus bets. That's VSIN250. Must be over 21. Visit PointsBet app for full details. PointsBet, stay sharp. It is my guys in the desert, Tim Murray, Matt Humans with you. And always great to bring in Aaron Kate Dolan from PointsBet. You could follow Aaron on Twitter at Aaron Kate Dolan. All right, Aaron, the Major League Baseball season wrapped up last night. Many people, including the two people on this desk, not thrilled about the managerial decisions from Kevin Cash, but the Dodgers hoist a trophy. So PointsBet, they have already, their mind is on to the future. So what are we looking at for 2021 futures at PointsBet for Major League Baseball, Aaron?
That's right. Well, no surprise, the Los Angeles Dodgers sit on top to win the 2021 World Series at plus 375. Followed by the Yankees at plus 700, Padres at plus 750, and the Twins and Rays sit at 10-1 to round out the top five. Of course, it is very, very early, but so far the Dodgers, Rays, Yankees, White Sox, and Cubs are points bets most bet on teams since the outright odds were posted in the last 24 hours. One bettor already has faith that the Rays will return but win this time with a $100 futures bet that would net $1,000 there. Now, in terms of the 2021 division markets, which we also have available, some things to note: Dodgers heavy favorites at minus 715 in the NL West. The closest team behind them is the Padres at plus 450. Then in the NL East, Braves favored to win the division at minus 134. The Nationals are the closest team behind them at plus 375. Switching to the AL, Yankees are heavily favored at minus 223 in the AL East. The Rays are the closest team behind them at plus 240. So those are some heavy favorites to keep an eye on. Then in terms of regular season win percentages, Dodgers and Yankees have two of the highest regular season win percentages. All the Tigers, Mariners, and Pirates sit projected as the lowest three teams. You can find the MLB outright markets I just talked about, division markets, and regular season win percentages on PointsBet.com, or you can download the PointsBet app.
You can follow Aaron on Twitter at Aaron Kate Dolan. Tell you what, Padres plus 450 to win the NL West is appetizing to me. I don't think the Dodgers should be that significant of a favorite in the NL West. All right, we got football to talk about, Aaron. Baseball, you're done with. Let's get to football. Thursday night football. We got Falcons at the Panthers and Atlanta. Well, they always give us something. They are certainly a must watch in the extent of you don't know what's going to happen in their game. So what are we seeing right now? Falcons and Panthers tomorrow night at PointsBet.
That's true. You never know what's going to happen with the Falcons, but now that Dan Quinn's gone, it's a little more, you can kind of predict it better, but PointsBet opened the Panthers -2.5, moved to -3 yesterday, and then back down to -2.5 where it sits. So for this game, I'm seeing bettors like the Panthers to cover with 80% of the bet count and handle on Carolina. Also seeing bettors liking the Panthers to win outright. As for the total, that opened at 49 and in the last few hours moved to 51.5, seeing over 90% of the handle on the over. So it's pretty high there. And then since this is a division matchup, I just want to note that the Panthers currently sit in third place in the NFC South division market at 22-1 ahead of the Falcons, who sit at 150-1 to win the division. Not sure if anybody would really take a gamble on that. I know I sure wouldn't. But PointsBet has their new feature, the single game parlay, where you can parlay multiple bets in a single game. You can use player props, total spread, team points, and more. So tomorrow night will be a great game to take advantage of this if you're in Indiana or New Jersey. And then you can find our NFL markets and promotions on PointsBet.com or by downloading the PointsBet app.
You can follow Aaron on Twitter. She joins us twice a week at Aaron Kate Dolan on Twitter from PointsBet. Aaron, great stuff as always, and we'll chat with you next week.
Thanks, guys.
And there she is, Aaron Kate Dolan. And once again, the promo code VSIN at 250, deposit $250. Get an extra 250 in bonus bets.
Aaron's, she's an Eagles. She's a Philly girl, by the way. So I hope we get a chance to talk to her about the Cowboys-Eagles game. I'm looking forward to that.
I wonder if she's going to be laying the points with the Eagles. You've already pleaded, you know, early Christmas present to Vinny Maiulo, Matt. Just give me Eagles -6 or -6.5.
By the way, that game is up at a book in Vegas.
Yep.
And it's Eagles -7.5. And that's no surprise, right?
No, it is not.
That number might actually even go higher. It just doesn't look right for Philly to be more than a 7-point favorite at home, but the Cowboys are a complete mess. Take a quick break. We come back. We have top plays for this weekend.
It's a big week here at VSiN, the sports betting network, and we've got some great news for everyone. Starting right now, you can watch every VSiN show for free on VSiN.com all week long. That's Follow the Money, 7 a.m. Eastern. They were down at the Circa in tuxedos today. A numbers game with Gil Alexander, 10 a.m. The Lombardi Line, My Guys in the Desert. Hey, that's this show. And all 14 hours of live daily sports betting programs, all for free, 24/7 on VSiN.com this week. And while you're there, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the daily best bets email and our Point Spread Weekly betting guide. This is the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the sports betting network. Head to VSiN.com right now to start watching for free. Got some winners for me yet? We got no sports tonight.
It's probably the first time since the summer, in the middle of the pandemic, where we didn't have any games on a day. And this is a dead sports day, but that's okay.
Mac will be back next week, ladies and gentlemen. So we're good. We're good.
Plenty of stuff going on. Take a day off, Tim. Take your wife out. Take her shopping. Take her out to dinner. You don't have any games to watch tonight.
Check out what's on.
Take her down to Circa and show her around.
She got mad at me. JVT brought his wife down last night and we were chatting. She's like, I was like, I was on air for 6 hours. What are you going to sit there and, do nothing? So I I do have to bring her down to Circa. That place was spectacular.
It's phenomenal.
The stadium swim. I could just see Matt Eumanns out there, bathing suit, you know, the zinc oxide on his nose on a November Saturday, cheering on Purdue.
I don't wear sunscreen. So you got that part wrong.
No zinc oxide, like the old, the lifeguards, you know?
It's like Baywatch.
Yeah.
That'll be Jacob, our producer, out there strutting around. He's in much better shape.
He's much better shape than both of us. Yeah.
So last night I was watching some of the coverage on the VSiN app. We'll get the top plays here in a second. But I thought you guys did a great job. The production of the show was smooth. You had a lot of great guests. So big names. Who were the biggest names out at Circa last night? I think Raiders owner Mark Davis was out there. I'm pretty sure I saw him. How about George Shea, the Nathan's Hot Dog hype man?
Yeah.
He was out there. Who else?
Derek Stevens flew him out to intro everyone. That was really cool. Grant Fuhr came in studio, Hall of Famer, Hockey Hall of Famer, 5-time Stanley Cup winner.
Uh-huh.
So he was in town. Brent was there.
Brent Musburger.
That was great to have him in there. I know he didn't come in studio. I think Dana White, I believe, made an appearance last night.
I thought
from
he would be there, but I didn't see him.
Yeah, I was in studio all night. They just brought in whoever would stop by. The legendary Doug Kazarian stopped by there, Matt.
I said big names.
Oh, sorry.
Who showed up?
Yeah. Well, I was listening to a podcast and you were on it last week, so you know I thought it was kind of thought he was a big deal, but no, it was a great event, and everyone behind the scenes, you know, Stephanie was tremendous, Brian Rogers, Bill Adey, Brian Musper, everyone a part of.
All right, you don't have to kiss everybody's butt.
Well, it was hey, you were doing the same thing, you know. Jacob's laughing back there. He was Matt kisses everyone's butt, and then he's like, easy on the butt kissing. No, it was a great night, it was really cool to be a part of it. And
I was trying to give you compliments because Danielle did a great job. And then you started throwing out the names of our bosses and kissing.
Got to.
That's butt kissing, right?
Yeah.
You started throwing out the names of the executives.
You put me in, they let me wear a tuxedo last night.
But
first time ever.
I thought Brian Musburger was phenomenal.
He was the best.
The show. Yeah, he was great.
He was the best guest of the night, Matt. You asked about the most important people that stopped by. The boss, our CEO, of course.
Let's get the top plays. I put three of these up on, I think, the Monday or Tuesday show. Wyoming +2 over Hawaii. That's Mountain West football on Friday night. The numbers dropped just a little bit. I think Hawaii now 1-point favorite at most spots. The colder, the better up in Laramie on Friday night for the Wyoming cause in that game. Cowboys as home dogs. I'm playing that. That's 142 in the rotation. UNLV looked really bad in its season opener at San Diego. Stay by on bad news here. I think the Rebels are going to make significant improvement offensively this week. And you know what? I saw some negative things with the Nevada Wolfpack, even though I was on that side.
Yeah.
Wolfpack blew a 28-6 lead there. There's some things I didn't like on both sides of the ball. I think UNLV is a 14-point home dog. The first time fans are going to be allowed into Allegiant Stadium.
There we go.
Not many fans. I think about 3,000, but UNLV +14 over Nevada. That's 154 on the rotation and 2 in the NFL. Patriots +4 over the Bills. Actually, Station Casinos in town still has that. Most books are down to 3. But I'm going to buy on bad news again. It's all negative with the Patriots right now, but I'll give Cam Newton one more shot here this week. Cam and Belichick +4 against the Bills. And I'm taking the Bears +4.5 over the Saints. I actually made this number 3. Now, I know Allen Robinson for the Bears is in concussion protocol. He's doubtful to play, and that Chicago offense has a lot of problems right now. But I don't think the Saints should be laying 4.5 in this game at Soldier Field. I have only bet on the Bears one time this season. This will be the second time. I'll take the 4.5 against the Saints. So home dog there. Tim, you and I were against the Bears. We were anti-Bears Monday night. You chalked up a win on your record with the Rams -6.
Inching closer to .500. Slowly but surely. I will add more college football plays and probably a couple NFL plays tomorrow. A couple I'm eyeing on. But the lone one I want to give out now is West Virginia laying 3.5 over Kansas State. That's rotation number 117-118. You got Kansas State going on the road. Potential look-ahead spot for Kansas State with Oklahoma State coming to town next week, the lone unbeaten team in the Big 12. And, K-State, look, anybody can beat Kansas the way that they did. But you look at that game a little bit more. 2 punt returns for touchdowns, a pick 6. And I mentioned it earlier in the show. West Virginia, outgained Texas Tech almost by 100 yards in that loss last week. The game-winning touchdown was scored on a fumble recovery. And you have to wonder, remember, Skylar Thompson done for the year for Kansas State. Yep. It's Will Howard. How is he going to play on the road? Maybe against the best defense in the entire Big 12 in West Virginia. I think there's a reason there. It's late at 3.5. People are going to look at a nationally ranked team against an unranked team, Matt, and say, I'm getting them on sale. I like West Virginia here laying 3.5. A couple other plays I'm looking at. Memphis plus 6.5 at Cincinnati.
Trying to get 7.
We're waiting. Maybe we'll get to 7. Virginia Tech laying 3.5. We talked about that one at Louisville. And I'm going to look more into this the Iowa spot, laying 2.5 against Northwestern at home against the Purple Cats.
I almost put that on my list today. I have not bet it yet. But like you said, we'll put some more college football plays on there tomorrow. I should mention, too, I lost the Rays to win the World Series. Bet at plus 185, so I'm 47-32. That's the overall record.
Pick it up, Matt. Plays. Jeez, 15 games
Tim,
over.
Tim, before we wrap it up, what's your record now?
It is 24-25-1. Yes. Right.
Well, nice win on the Rams on Monday night. I know that impressed Brian Musburger.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, quick break. We come back. You know what? We're going to talk more college football to close the show.
Are you VIP material? DraftKings VIPs enjoy exclusive benefits, enhanced promotional offers, top-tier customer support, access to personalized contests, and more. Visit DraftKings.com/VSiN to learn more. Plus, everyone can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers can get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. Sign up with the promo code VSiN to claim your exclusive offer. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Over 21, New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Over, you know, this is I feel like this is a perfect read for Matt Newman's, because, you know, you're a VIP, Matt. VIP in my book. But that pick over Nevada last week, oof, VIP.
Okay. Last night I showed up at Circa and I ran into Mike Palm. There's a true VIP.
Hell yeah.
How about the introduction that George Shea, the Nathan's Hot Dog hype man, gave to Mike Palm at Stadium Swim last night? Check it out on the Palm Readers on Twitter. It's very entertaining, actually. Great introduction and entrance by Mike Palm last night at the Circa Grand Opening. Also tonight on VSiN, Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf betting show with Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds. Brady's going to go off script tonight and get a little crazy.
Uh-oh.
Talking about the Bermuda Championship. And the Masters is 2 weeks away, Tim. So we are fired up in the golf betting world.
And College Game Day will be at the Masters.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, the Bear? Chris the Bear Felica taking the show on the road to
November
Augusta, Georgia?
November 14th, it'll be, yes, at Augusta National.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. So that'll be a cool crossover event there for College Game Day. That's been probably, Matt, my favorite show for quite some time, College Game Day. Other than, you know, my guys in the desert.
Okay, so, I was going to say, that's great, Tim.
Yeah.
Tonight on Long Shots.
And Long Shots.
I have Long Shots, one of my favorite shows. I've got futures plays on the Bermuda this week on Harold Varner at 28-1. I didn't put these in the top plays segment, but I'll mention them here in case you don't get a chance to watch Long Shots. Harold Varner, 28-1. Doc Redman, 36-1. Aaron Wise at 62-1. And I have got a couple Masters futures I like, and I'll recommend these. Bubba Watson at about 50-1 and Tony Finau at 46-1. But you can catch Brady and Wes tonight on Long Shots. Again, the world's number one rated golf betting show here on VSiN. Back to college football, Tim. Notre Dame, Georgia Tech. I do want to talk about this game again because Clemson is on deck for the Irish on November 7th in South Bend. We've seen this number Basically steady now at 20 across the board. Irish 20-point favorites on the road off the impressive win at Pitt 45-3. Georgia Tech, this team has just been a wreck lately, blown out by Clemson 73-7.
Is blown out by Boston College last week.
Jeffrey Sims, the quarterback, 8 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions. There's not a lot positive. The one big win over Louisville on a Friday night and the win at Florida State, that's what Georgia Tech's got to hang its hat on at this point. I don't want to lay these points on the road because I really do think this is a serious look-ahead spot for the Irish, you know, with Clemson on deck. But what number would it take for you to take with Georgia Tech? Would you consider it at 21, 21 and a half? Would you play Georgia Tech?
I would consider it at 21 and a half. Yeah. But I don't, Matt, look at this as a big look-ahead spot because I feel like Notre Dame already played its, so to speak, clunker against Louisville. I think that was the wake-up call that they needed, and we saw that last week against Pittsburgh. But, yeah, I'm not going to lay 20. Depending on what the first half line is, I might look at the Irish there. If it's under 2 touchdowns, they come out, kind of set it, and just say, all right, let's cruise on. Because I feel like this Notre Dame team is trying to build up that momentum heading into the Clemson game. And, mm-hmm. and you know, conversely, you look at Clemson this weekend laying 31 against Boston College, another potential look-ahead spot. But I feel like last week when Trevor Lawrence calls out Clemson and Dabo played it all coy, oh, you know, I thought we won by 4 touchdowns and, you know, pulling the old the Dabo card yeah. there. But Trevor Lawrence flat out said, you know, we didn't come out ready to go. They gave up some big plays. The Syracuse, Brent Venables said he, you know, missed on a coverage and it allowed a big play. Once again, I'm not going to lay the 31 with Clemson on Boston College, but I really think this could be a absolute beatdown by Clemson on Boston College.
BC's an improved team, too. There are some things to like about BC. By the way, Notre Dame's going to be in a tricky spot at Boston College
after
a Clemson game. That's something to keep an eye on when you look down the road. This week, you talk about a look-ahead spot with the Irish with Clemson on deck November 7th. Look at that November 14th game, Irish at Boston College. That's going to be a tricky spot.
Yeah, and to add on to that, you know, well, history of Notre Dame football, Boston College after Notre Dame plays the number one team in the country, not a great history doesn't smile well, 1993. Uh-huh. But, you know, Notre Dame has openly talked about this Clemson game as the measuring stick, right? When they lose this game, Matt, it's going to be a complete and utter letdown. And then think about who Boston College quarterback is. He's a guy who left Notre Dame. Yeah, exactly. So there's the motivation there. Notre Dame just destroyed Boston College last year. That will be a bet on Boston College spot, and no doubt. Think about last year,
I've
Matt.
Got that one circled. Yeah. I've had it circled.
And think about last year after Notre Dame got destroyed by Michigan. They almost lost outright as a 3-touchdown favorite against Virginia Tech. They won that game 21-20.
Virginia Tech should have won the game.
Should have won.
Hokies.
They let Notre Dame win.
Them off the hook. Yep. And that performance at Michigan last year was pathetic.
It was awful.
Okay, let's go to the SEC quickly. Alabama, a 31-point favorite over Mississippi State, total of 63.5 or 64. No Jalen Waddle. Obviously, Bama's got plenty of playmakers and a lot of depth, and I think the Alabama offense is going to be okay. And in a game like this, he's not going to be missed. But, man, this looks like a big number against Mike Leach and Mississippi State, 31. Would you, if you were playing this game, would you look more at Alabama first half?
Well, I think two things here. Mississippi State will also be without arguably their best player. Kylan Hill has opted out for the entire year.
That's a serious blow to
Mike Leach talked about 7 players left the program and said, quote, I'd be surprised if we don't lose more. He said to, quote, brace yourself if you're already freaking out about the departures. He's not shocked at all. So
these guys, he threw his players under the bus.
Yep.
And I'm going to speculate that these guys don't like playing for Mike Leach right now. And
man, how this really star has fallen after week one where they beat LSU, right?
Yeah. Beat LSU and Baton Rouge, and then it's a totally different picture right now. You're a 31-point underdog at Alabama. I think this number is going to go up by Saturday. I actually think the public's going to bet Bama. And I want no part of Mississippi State with all the negative things going on with that team right now.
And you think, too, a little bit, Matt, is Alabama, after losing Jalen Waddle in the fashion that they did, just it's sad as a college football fan to see Jalen Waddle get injured and be lost for the year, but You do wonder if Alabama is going to say, we're just fine. Yeah, we'll be okay. So do they try to put it on and say, yeah, we're good. We're
basically good. Didn't have Waddle in the game at Tennessee last week, and the Bama, there's nothing wrong with the Bama offense in that game.
Mac Jones is a legitimate Heisman candidate this year.
Right now, Alabama minus $3 at DraftKings to win the SEC. Georgia, second choice at 3-1, Florida 4-1, and then Texas A&M at 18-1. Every other team, a serious long shot into triple digits. Also this week, Georgia at Kentucky, and you were talking about this. Doug Kazarian did a podcast with Brad Edwards today, and Edwards said a potential shutout's on the table for Kentucky in terms of Kentucky's offense being shut out this week by the Georgia defense.
Yeah, and I played, I think it was Georgia opened up the season against, was it Arkansas?
That was at Arkansas.
Yeah, I played the Arkansas team total under of 12, and they had 10 early, and then it stayed at 10, fortunately. I think this is a spot, if you're in double digits, you got to look at team total under for Kentucky. I mean, that offense is completely inept. You look at the total in that game. Georgia's laying 15, Matt, and it's a total of 43. Georgia, I do think, I agree with Stuart Mandel, I think they are the best defense in the country. Kentucky playing the way that they did. So I would look at a team total under, especially if it's, you know, right now you look at the line and look at the total, Matt, as you mentioned, it's probably team total is going to be, what, 13.5, somewhere in that ballpark, 14?
I was going to say, if you can find a 14, play under 14.
Yeah, I would play that. If that pops, you know, later this week, I would look at a team total under on Kentucky.
All right, so we sit here on Wednesday night. There is one game. There are two games actually on Thursday night. South Alabama, Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern, a 4.5-point favorite, we'll call that. That's the number at Circus Sports. 4.5, total of 51. And also tomorrow night in the Mountain West, Colorado State Rams are 2-point favorites at Fresno State. The Bulldogs got beat up by Hawaii in the season opener last week. I don't think this is a very good Fresno team. I don't know what to expect from Colorado State. This is a really difficult game to handicap in the Mountain West. I can see why Colorado State's a short road favorite. I don't have a play there. My play is Friday night. I took Wyoming +2 as a home dog against Hawaii. But, Tim, how about South Alabama, Georgia Southern?
A lot of movement.
Have you thought about playing this game?
I've thought about the Jaguars in this spot. You know, Georgia Southern, I was on them last week, and they were disappointing against Coastal Carolina, especially with McCall being out for Coastal Carolina. The question you have to have is Georgia Southern's do-everything quarterback, Shea Wirtz, left the game. I think he did come back at the very end, but he had a knee injury, Matt. I don't know how healthy he is, and South Alabama is a team that can score a lot of points. I think this is a possible, and you're seeing a lot of steam right now on South Alabama. I think this opened at 6.5. It's now down to 4, 4.5, depending on where you look. I almost played it on the show today. I'm going to look into it a little bit more, but I like the Jaguars north of a field goal here on the road, especially if Shea Wirtz, the quarterback for Georgia Southern, is a bit banged up.
I thought you might be playing that. I thought you'd be looking at that.
Yeah?
Huh?
I like South Alabama in this spot. They can score, man.
All right, that does it for my guys in the desert. We'll be back tomorrow. But thanks today to VSIN Vinny, Mark Lawrence, Stuart Mandel, and Aaron Kate Dolan. Long shots on VSIN tonight. Don't forget about that. And Danny Burke up next.